It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. It is Monday morning. The sun is going to come up in just a little while, and welcome to the show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And like us over on Facebook as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. Be sure and check out the website also for our Headlines for Hope. It's a little something that we're doing through this crazy time. Some great stories that hopefully will bring you hope and inspire you. Our show today, Sue Moore with Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will be calling in. Even though the legislature is in a temporary adjournment, they're still thinking about some legislation that we're in a new reality now, and the veil is off on just how bad some of this legislation is. So we'll talk with Sue Moore in the second segment about that. And then the third and fourth segment, I'm so excited about this, Steve. My fellow Liberty Toastmasters, a number of them will be calling in. And the subject is the right to violate rights. Is that not timely, Steve?
Well, I've been seeing... Again, I take on so much information and is like a sponge, but when you ring me out, not much comes back. But we have seen things that we have never seen before coming down the pike at us. And, you know, under the guise of trying to adapt and to quickly do the right thing, and I'm doing air quotes right here, the right thing sometimes, and it's like the promo for today's show, what Ben Franklin said, people seeking liberty versus safety, you know, at the expense of one, at the expense of the other, might not deserve either.
Well, and Franklin lived back in the 1700s. So, the timeless truths that were then, they still are timeless truths now. And you know, we look at this show, freedom versus force versus freedom. That is ultimately the question. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Steve, right now we are living under socialism, where government is giving out payments, and basically, you know, it's going to run out of money. We're already in significant debt. And so government is giving out money. People are not working. People are in lines waiting for, you know, to get into stores. We have shelves that are empty. So I think that we're getting a glimpse of what life is like under socialism or the new Green Deal, where, you know, Ocasio-Cortez was calling for no air travel. We see down at the Colorado State House trying to get people out of their cars. And we're seeing this, and the trade-off for that utopian thing that they've been talking about, people are like, I don't like this. I want to be able to go out and to work hard and take care of my family. I love it when we have, because of capitalism, the free exchange of value between one person and another, that we have, stores that have things on the shelves. We are seeing what the new Green Deal and what socialism looks like, and it's not very pretty, Steve.
No, it's not. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this Friday. I don't think I got a chance to complete my thought, which is, you know, no big deal. Happens every day to me. I think, you know, we say that a politician, a person in leadership, whether it's federal, state, or local, wants to know that any decision they make is the right one. And we don't have that luxury. We won't know for weeks, months, whether any of these decisions were the actual right one. There's, you know, a post-mortem, and I hate to use that term, comes down and says, yes, that was the right thing. No, that wasn't so smart. It's almost like, you know, we watch professional sports, or we used to, the instant replay. we like to know that every time a decision is made that we could stop and let's roll back and watch it in slow motion. Oh, yes, that was the right thing. That's exactly what happened the way it was called. Or no, that needs to be overruled. And we don't have that luxury. So it's a frustrating thing.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that we need to look at these things as, is it an overreach or is it a measured response? So, for example, when Mayor Hancock comes up and says that he's closing down the restaurant industry for 8 weeks, that puts the fear of God in people. You know, they're like, how am I going to pay my rent? Many people have lost their jobs. It was not a measured response. It was a heavy, heavy hand. And we need to look at leaders that, are they trying to scare us? Or are they trying to actually lead? And as you mentioned, we're going to find out. We're going to walk through this, and we're going to see what the truth is. But I think that, you know, instead of just taking things without asking any questions, we need to put our thinking caps on and really look at these issues. So now, when we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something is a good idea, we should not have to force people. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom, whether with rhetoric, that was, you know, this pandemic, with a weapon policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And before we get into this, I always like to say thank you. I get to work with some really amazing people at Crawford Broadcasting, as well as our team, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Appreciate all that you guys do, and each of you listeners, you are valued, you are treasured. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And be sure, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And podcast of the show can be found at kimmunson.com as well. This week, we are working. We don't have it on the website. If you are signed up for our newsletter, you receive the two new podcasts that we did last week, and that is Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And we will get those on the website. We're still working on the logistics on that. But that's one of the reasons why you should sign up for my newsletter. And you can go to my website and do that so that you get all that kind of information. But those were really great podcasts, one with Dr. Brian Dimitrovic regarding the economy, and the other with Professor Rob Nadelson regarding the unconstitutionality of these lockdown orders here in Colorado. Those were really good podcasts, Steve.
They were. You know, when we actually recorded them, obviously I'm sitting here listening in as you guys, you know, lay them out. And I'm so grateful for people like Dimitrovic and Nadelson, who can really put a laser light on these issues.
Yeah, so be sure and sign up for my my newsletter. It comes out once a week. Now, you alluded to this, but this is our inspiration wisdom quote for today from Benjamin Franklin. He lived from 1706 to 1790. He was a statesman, diplomat, writer, scientist, and inventor. He was one of the most versatile and talented men in colonial America and a leading figure in the American struggle for independence. And he says, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So telling. So our funnies. Are you ready for our funnies today, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Prince Charles tested positive for coronavirus. On the bright side, it's the first time he's ever been described as positive.
Ooh, wow.
Okay. Okay. Wanted to go through, we've had Victor Davis Hanson, Professor Victor Davis Hanson, on the show before, and he had written a very important piece in American Greatness. He says, the virus is not invincible, but it is exposing who's irreplaceable. And he says, as testing spreads, we're going to get a better idea of the actual number and nature of the cases. And I think there's more people, Steve, that have the virus than we realize. As we have more extensive testing, we'll realize that this death rate that the World Health Organization and the, you know, the pessimists on the modeling have had out there of a 4% death rate is probably incorrect. We're starting to see that walked back. And very glad that they're back in Los Angeles. But Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, we said that when the news came out that, oh, my gosh, they have the coronavirus, We wish them well, and we'll be glad in 30 days to see if they're still here with us. And they are. They're back in Los Angeles. So I think that we're going to see that more people have the virus. And I think that that percentage of death rates is going to go down here in America. And I think that we're going to have to, and this is going to be good. We're going to look at these different organizations that have been really trying to scare the American people. And we're going to have, I want to say, a come to Jesus meeting with them on this, because this is irresponsible. You know, some of the things that they are continuing to use, like words like bombshells, turning points, game changers, walls are closing in. You know, those are things that are scare people. And we've seen the economy that has been shut down. And Victor Davis Hanson said that as we have more knowledge and data, better medical protocols, and the use of these new drugs, it looks like that to anti-malaria drug that they've had great results with in treating people, is, I think it's just been fast-tracked approved. And of course, it's been out there for quite some time. And it's also very telling, Steve, as we have had politicians and pundits that have said, oh, it needs to be tested for this. Well, it's been out there for so long, they know what the results are. You know, just fast track it for this. And it's surprising to me that not everybody in the world would want that to be fast tracked if it's had such great results, Steve.
The Michigan governor is a great example of this. She's the governor, but all of a sudden she starts bad mouthing these medications and the usage of these medications in this scenario. It's like, when did the governor become a medical expert? And I think that's part of our problem. We have so many people going off taking a little bit of information and running off the deep end with it. You know, the 4% figure that you quoted a while ago, they put that value out there, 4%, based on what data do they already have
exactly
at their disposal? And the fact that every day we gather more data, but it never seems to catch up with that initial prediction.
Well, you know, the other thing that's so telling, you just mentioned this Michigan governor, is, you know, back in World War II, this country came together to defeat a foe. I am seeing something underlying occur here that it doesn't look like the people are pulling together. Some of these people are trying to really find solutions. They are really trying to politicize this thing and scare the American people. And again, we're going to see the truth as we march through this. We are going to see the truth on the other side of that. And that's why on this show, we're working to strive for truth and clarity. A couple of other things on this piece before we go to break. He said that we forget the world goes on amidst the viral panic, and the news apart from the outbreak is actually pretty good. California, the country's largest state and biggest economy, was facing a harsh drought just 3 weeks ago. And they've had a March miracle. In the Sierra Nevada mountains, suddenly they have received 4 to 6 feet of snow. And this late snow is really going to help the spring runoff. It says our three greatest rivals, China, Russia, and Iran, are all faring far worse than we are. China's brand is tarnished, and nations, if wise, will question Chinese reliability, transparency, and truthfulness. And Iran was very extreme before the virus. These oil price crashes, the oil sales boycotts and embargoes, you know, and things that have happened in Iran, they are not doing very well. And it says this is a golden opportunity for U.S. corporations to return to America and become what has been called the new Roosevelt arsenal of democracy, the world supplier of medical supplies and pharmaceuticals that nations can count on in the times of crisis. I think that's really important, Steve.
It is. It's again, it's that let's draw back and let's think this through a little bit more than we have been. I know I come across as being down on the culture for this very thing, but I go back to the 1930s, the 1940s. I think we were a much more thinking population of people before we allowed televisions in every living room to tell us what to think. And it just takes some thinking. You've got to stop long enough and in the still of the moment, sort it out for yourself. What do you think?
Well, and that's why we do the show, is to try to help you get your brain around these issues. Before we go to break, I think this is so important. You know, the elites have looked down on middle America, on our farmers and our ranchers and our truckers and plumbers and electricians. But Victor Davis Hanson...
We're deplorable.
Yeah, we're deplorables. But who is it that you're looking to now when, you know, during this pandemic... We're looking to the truckers who are driving 12 hours a day to get, you know, our goods to our stores where people are, you know, stocking our shelves. The farmers are still working. They're preparing to plant for spring so that we have food. So who is it that really matters? Is it that high paid professor of diversity that's so important, or is it these people, plumbers, that you know, if you have a problem with your plumbing right now, you need them to show up? Or how about your refrigerator, the guy that'll come and fix that? And so I think that the veil is off on who is really irreplaceable and who isn't. And so I thought it was just an excellent piece. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado about legislation that we really need to keep our eye on, and we'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business this month and will be reopening on March 31st, 3 to 8 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Beginning March 31st, call 720-381-6663 to place your curbside to-go order or stop in to grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663. Or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. All kinds of great information there. Sue Moore, Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Happy Monday. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. Happy Monday to you.
It doesn't look like the legislature is going to really start meeting yet, does it?
No, actually, I have it on good authority that they'll be out for at least a couple more weeks. So things have kind of stalled down there. No new bills are being introduced. They might still be processing a little bit on some of the older bills. But we're also waiting for the Colorado Supreme Court to come back and give a ruling on whether or not the days of the temporary adjournment would count toward the legislative set, the 120 day legislative session. So right now it's scheduled to end on May 6th. Obviously the Democrats would like to see that extended, but that's in the Supreme Court's court, so to speak. So we have to wait for that ruling, so we won't really know for a while.
Will that be this week or we won't know?
You know, I do not know. I know that they've heard arguments on Friday. You know, I don't know. I'm not an attorney, so I don't really know how that stuff works. But regardless, when they do come back into session, the focus really will have to be on the budget or the long bill. That's the one thing that they really are statutorily required to do during the session. So what we've done with the Republican Liberty Caucus is we've decided to go through some of the bills. We're actually kind of doing their work for them and letting them know which bills we think should be killed just as soon as they come back into session. So we're calling this Kill Bill Week 2.
Okay.
So we've got 10 bills. And last week you brought up a good point talking about reliable and affordable energy that we all have in our homes during this crisis. you know, imagine what life at home would feel like if you didn't have heat or if you didn't have access to the internet. It would be even more miserable than it is now. So we've decided to focus on energy bills that we would that okay. we think should be killed. So quickly, there are two sort of related bills. Seem a little petty at this point. House Bill 1162, which would prohibit food establishments' use of polystyrene. These are the styrofoam boxes that you're getting your home delivery in. So, you know, they would like to ban those. This is really not a good time to even be discussing that kind of thing. It would require restaurants to use inferior or more expensive products. You know, we're talking about businesses that may not survive this crisis. So let's not put added burdens on these companies. The second one is House Bill 1163, the management of single-use products. These are straws and stirrers and plastic bags. Again, you know, carry out things that restaurants are needing to use right now just to stay in business. So, yeah, those two bills especially ought to be, those are kind of no-brainers. We'd like to see those go away. But
you know,
on a bigger...
And you know what, Sue, as you know, these were all proposed before all this came down. And you can see this agenda that, you know, was being proposed. And now we look at this and we realize that how petty this is. And actually, it also gets into, you know, kind of cleanliness, safety, and also restaurants being able to do their business. And so in a way, the veil is coming off on how petty some of this stuff is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it's part of the agenda, the Green New Deal. You know, they want to clean up the environment. Those are worthy goals, but they want to do it on the backs of small businesses, and that just doesn't seem fair. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you. But on a bigger landscape, we've also got some bills that would that are attacking the energy industry, the oil and gas industry. And, you know, keep in mind that money from oil and gas, you know, those jobs, those you know, the products that they put out, you know, these are funding our schools. So when you attack the oil and gas industry, you're also attacking local schools. So these are very poorly timed. Just to hit a few of the high points.
The low points.
House Bill 1064 would allow the Public Utilities Commission to create a study on community choice energy. So if a local community decides they want to go with some kind of alternative energy program, you know, that sounds like a good thing, local control. But the problem is it puts it on the backs of the incumbent utilities to make this happen. So it would increase the utility, the 0.25% of revenue that they're now paying. It would allow the PUC to raise that, God knows how high. And, you know, ultimately the ratepayers pay that. You know, when the utilities don't pay that, they actually pass that through to the ratepayers. So, and it also takes money out of the school system. So if this was such a great idea, we think that some of these alternative energy companies should pay for that study and figure out how it's actually going to be feasible.
Good idea.
There's House Bill 1143, the environmental justice and increasing environmental fines. So it creates this Environmental Justice Advisory Board, which is aptly named. Basically, it allows some unaccountable bureaucrats to create policy that would, you know, impose fees and penalties on companies. Some of these would be fourfold, $10,000 to $47,000 for some kind of air pollution or water pollution violation. It just doesn't seem fair, especially at a time like this. Not only not fair, it's just not economically feasible.
Well, and to your point on that, Sue, is we have got to stop giving our elective power to unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. I think that people believe that representative government is the best kind of government, and we cannot continue to do this. We need to be rolling that back. So thank you.
Absolutely.
So a couple more minutes here.
There are several bills like that create these new bureaucracies and give them just sweeping powers on, you know, raising fees, raising penalties. You know, once they create this bureaucracy, they actually have to fund it. So, that's how that all works. You and I know that. There's another one, global warming potential for public project materials. Now, this one's insidious because it actually only has a $47,000 fiscal note, but it would actually raise the cost of building bridges, roads, you know, buildings, anything that's some kind of a public project. because it would actually award, or it would put the priority on awarding bids to companies that can do these things by creating the least or the lowest carbon footprint. It has nothing to do with the financial feasibility of a project. It has more with, you know, choosing materials that don't emit carbon monoxide, carbon anyway. So, yeah, so that's Senate Bill 159, the Global Warming Potential for Public Project Materials.
Okay.
You
know what? This is so important, what we're doing. And Sue, you're going to be on again next Monday morning as we continue to talk about these. How can people get more information on this?
Yeah, all of these bills will be on our website this morning. It's rlcco.org. We'll have a kind of a summary of all these bills. And then next week we'll look at another part of our economy that we think we could improve by killing some bills that are already in the process. So thanks for having me on. Yeah, rlcco.org is where all this information is. And we'll just keep doing what we're doing and trying to help out the legislature when they come back.
Sounds great. You're doing great work. Thank you to you and your team at Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. We'll talk to you next Monday, Sue Moore.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. It's Monday. What's on your radar?
Well, you know, Kim, I'm kind of watching the markets like a hawk, which has become my profession here recently. Friday was kind of a weird day. I was positive for most of the day, and then in the last 30 minutes, we just saw a big drop. And nobody can seem to figure out exactly why that happened, but the Dow ended up about 900 down on Friday. One thing I did notice, Kim, was that the trading volume, came down significantly across all of the indexes compared to what it has been since this thing really started ramping up back in late February. So a down day on lower volume could be taken as a good sign. Again, I kind of like the action we've been seeing since March 17th, and I still think the market's trying to find a bottom here, but I could be proven wrong very quickly.
Well, it's an unprecedented time that we have going on right now, Jason. But I really think long term there is some great opportunity. In times of crisis, there's great opportunity. And I find it interesting you said since March 17th, that was the day I think that you were on the show. So isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's right. Maybe we started it.
I think maybe we did. Yeah. So what would you recommend that people do right now? I mean, I think that a discovery session, you know, while people are home, let's do some positive things. Do a discovery session with you and your team over at Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, yeah, we can do that, and at least you could do a phone call and get to know us a little bit. One thing I would say is look at your entire portfolio. Statements will be coming out soon for March, and it's easy to, you know, maybe look at one or two things that may have gotten hit really hard, which could get you freaked out, but I think it's better to look at your entire investment portfolio, because a lot of people have some safe stuff and then some riskier stuff, and if you only focus on the riskier stuff that has probably been beat up, it's easy to get shook up. So look at the big picture. You may find that your strategy having some safety in there has worked just the way you wanted it to, and overall you haven't seen that big of a decline.
Well, I recommend that people reach out to you and just do a discovery session. This is a very interesting time right now, but we are walking through it. I think there's great opportunity. So that phone number there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or you can reach Jason and his team at AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com. Have I hit everything, Jason? Anything else?
No, I think we're good. We'll be back with another report tomorrow on what's happening, and we'll keep you up to speed.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Jason McBride. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with a number of my colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters about right to violate rights. Stay tuned.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, Kim Munson. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Like us on Facebook. We appreciate that. And I'm really excited about these next two segments. Some of my fellow colleagues at Liberty Toastmasters will be calling in. The subject is the right to violate rights. To be a leader, you must make decisions that distinguish between what are the natural rights of the individual versus the violation of rights by the establishment of collective entitlements. It's quite a subject. On the line is Bill Vetter, one of my colleagues. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Okay. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. What we're going to do, this is what we call table topics, where you basically have 3 minutes to make your statement. So, Bill Vetter, let's go ahead and start.
Thank you for inviting me to talk on your topic. Today's coronavirus outbreak has brought to a head the question of whether it justifies government violations of our rights. To state a conclusion, I believe that our pre-exist government. No one has a right to violate rights, not you, not I, not even government. For this virus, I'm retired. If it's not too long, I can comfortably hunker down in my home with my wife, ride this out. Many people cannot. If they work in healthcare or other essential occupation, they work with whatever measures may pose. But if they don't, they're on the dole, or they're simply without resources. That's what our governments have decreed with lockdowns. Oh, too bad for them. On the one hand, this virus has brought out all the best among Americans, taking care of ourselves and our family, volunteering, help labor. The people on my block have come back to each other to ask, is there anything I can do for you? With common sense, we all wash our hands and keep our distance. But on the other hand, unfortunately, people in all levels of government are using the coronavirus crisis as a cover to violate everyone's rights. Should governments mandate social distancing by imposing curfews and quarantines, by shutting businesses, by denying people the right to work if they choose to do so, to the police arrest people or go without permission?
Okay. Bill, that is
I'm not done.
Okay.
These draconian measures not only violate people's rights, their intended consequences are likely to include another Great Depression, as our parents and grandparents had in the 1930s, which itself was largely caused and greatly worsened by government intervention. A depression would injure millions of people now and in the future. Is that what we want ourselves? Is what we want for our children and grandchildren? The economic costs of getting down the economy are already huge, and they will go. The federal government passed a $2 billion stimulus package last week. Only 1/8 of it is directed to people who are out of work, and that skips to pay. The rest is full of pork. Will that money come? What damage will a timorous acceptance of government edicts do to the fabric of our Republican form of government? Will we still be bland and free? When the crisis ends, will our governments return these powers to the people? When this crisis ends, will we have to live with decreased privacy, constant surveillance, increased coercion? When the crisis ends, what will be the after effects of increased taxes and inflated currency necessary at least 10 bus clocks.
Bill, thank you so much. We're doing like Speed, Liberty, Toastmasters, Table Topics. Thank you so much, Bill Vetter. Okay, next on the line is Josh Lalament. Hey, Josh, right to violate rights, your thoughts? Okay, we lost him. So, Josh, we need to have you call back on that. While we're waiting for Josh to call back, and Steve, I think you have his number, you can try to reach out to him as well. One of the things that I'm very concerned about is this, when we're talking about right to violate rights, is this whole surveillance situation that we have, and there has been many people that have been very concerned about the metadata, and that is where we've had different entities that are getting a lot of data on us. And one of the things that we see here, this is from the Washington Post, smartphones data reveals which Americans are social distancing and not. It says if you have a smartphone, you're probably contributing to a massive coronavirus surveillance system. And it's revealing where Americans have and haven't been practicing social distancing. We'll keep that thought. Josh is back. Hey, Josh Lalament, fellow Liberty Toastmaster, what's your thoughts on right to violate rights?
I think the main thing to think about is first to think about the ethics, is that there's no such thing as collective rights or collective group. And I don't think that groups or collectives are more important than the individual. And when it comes to this coronavirus, I think we are taking the approach of making everyone, the government's forcing everyone to, you know, do this collective, you know, shutdown, and it's a wrong approach. Part of individual liberty is the right to association, right of association and disassociation, and right of consent. If the medical community puts out information and people don't, if there are individuals who don't feel comfortable going out in public, they have a right to disassociate from the outside world and stay in their house, in their private property. But they don't have a right to force everyone else to, you know, self-isolate. And I think if we took that approach, it'd be a far better way to deal with this little virus that I think is bad, but I think it's getting overblown.
Okay, well, and I think what you're alluding to, Josh, is kind of an economic virus. Your final thought on that?
I think if society were allowed to just operate as usual, and if like the elderly want to isolate and we're allowed to carry on with our economic businesses and stuff, we would be in far better position to treat people who really need it. So,
okay. Well, thank you so much, Josh Lalament. Greatly appreciate you calling in this morning.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And now on the line is Carol Baker, fellow Liberty Toastmaster. Carol, what's your thoughts on right to violate rights?
Well, I guess I got to wonder what's a right and what's a privilege. And I wonder how many times our rights as taxpayers or insurance premium payers are being violated provide someone's privilege. Driving a car is not a right. It's a privilege granted to us by the state by issuing us a license when we show we are going to operate a vehicle appropriately and responsibly. If we lose that, does someone have the right to jump up and down and say, I have the right to drive my car? Well, I think of something else like irresponsible spending. If I spend more than I earn, I don't have the right to borrow money anymore. Sometimes our behavior dictates the choices about what limits things, what causes it to be limited. Now, if somebody else decides, though, oh, somebody deserves this or that as a right, and then it's paid for by my taxes, or maybe if it's a medical procedure and it's paid for by my insurance premiums through my employer, then I think we've got things out of balance, but I think a lot of us have gotten ourselves to thinking a privilege is actually a right.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Any other thoughts on that, Carol?
Well, I think we've lived here in Colorado. Some of us have had the privilege of living in the foothills when there's forest fires. We've had problems before here in Colorado that maybe a lot of people are having for the first time. But we've had to stay in place when it's too smoky to breathe. Yeah, okay. It's not a first.
Okay, Carol Baker, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kim. Talk to you later.
Okay, great. And now on the line is Greg Morrissey. Hey, Greg Morrissey, what do you think about right to violate rights?
The thing that came to my mind when you sent me that text, I've got my little booklet here in front of me. The Constitution of the United States, its only keepers, the people. I think people being home right now have an excellent opportunity to study the Constitution, get to know it. Don't let someone violate those rights. Realize where these rights come from and realize what the proper role of government is. They may be taking some of these measures because of this disease is coming out. They cannot become permanent. Do not let them usurp the Constitution. This is raised up as one nation's under God. We have an excellent opportunity right now to be one nation under God, to handle this virus, to handle it correctly and be a light to the world. People should come across from that point of view. I believe the information that the U.S. is getting in the statistics is far more accurate than you've seen some other countries in Europe, Iran, and China, and even Russia, etc. Do not let your state, local, federal governments take away your rights. You have temporary rules in until this will abate. This won't last forever. America has faced great challenges in the past. We can face this challenge together and get through it. Don't let them bring those in and saying these are the new sets of rights. No, they're not.
Well said, Greg Morrissey. And you have immigrated to America, so you've taken the time to really understand our Constitution, and I would encourage that people that were born here do the same thing. And as you mentioned, during this time when we are somewhat isolated, sit down and learn your Constitution. That is great advice, Greg Morrissey.
You're welcome.
Okay,
and
thanks.
Do not let this country go. It's one nation under God. Stay one nation under God. Be a light to the world.
You got it, Greg Morrissey. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with some of my other colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouth-watering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Like us on Facebook. And really, I love these shows because we have so many different points of view in Liberty Toastmasters. We look at things differently. So it's always interesting to hear what people have to say. The subject for today is right to violate rights. This is our table topics where people have up to 3 minutes where they can talk about a particular subject. On the line is Terry Goon with Liberty Toastmasters North. Terry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim.
And so what's your thoughts on right to violate rights?
Well, my thoughts on rights have always been a little bit different from friends of mine in that I think they're only rights in that we have the ability to defend them. So in this case right now that we have, our leaders are revoking rights in order to keep people safe from disease, which is defendable. They're trying to do what they think is best and what they've heard is best. And up to this point, we as a people have agreed to follow through with that because, we're looking at the situation and going, this may be what needs to happen. It's a big balancing act. You hear people starting to agitate in the background, and they have to determine what is that point, what is that line of demarcation. It will probably help, and I read there's an article in the American Enterprise Institute that was talking about coming up with some milestones and triggers before relaxing control. And that's a brilliant idea because if you know that as these numbers of viruses go down to a certain amount in so many days, that then, small businesses maybe with four employees and not more than three or four people in the store at a time or whatever business it is are allowed to open, then little by little we can start to open the economy back up and get things moving again. But things obviously cannot stay the way they are right now forever because, not only will they have trouble keeping control, but we'll have trouble behaving ourselves as well. So natural rights are definitely natural rights, but they have to be defendable by the people. And, 10 people that are agitating aren't going to be able to defend themselves in a situation like this because most people are still in agreement that this has to be done. The trick is that the media has lied to us for so many years, it's really hard to believe anything they say. So, I'm thankful that President Trump has people on TV every day that you can listen to and weigh what they're saying. There's a lot of data out there. And as people are getting sick exponentially, we're also learning every day exponentially. And new manufacturing processes with and without government interference and help has also been growing. So things are changing quickly. And hopefully this doesn't last very long.
Right. I totally agree. Hey, Terry Goon, thank you so much. I really appreciate your call in this morning.
Take care, Kim. Bye.
Okay. Bye. And on the line now is our fearless president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver. That is Rick Rome. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Good morning, Kim, and thanks for having me.
Definitely. What is your thoughts on right to violate rights?
So recently, as I've noticed, there's been a tremendous increase in activity on social media such as Facebook, and I noticed a post that caught my attention. And it had to do with a hairstylist who was being charged with attempted murder for having kept his business open and knowingly having the COVID virus. Now, it seems to me that we're seeing, it's either an overzealous prosecutor in a case like that, and to me, something like that would be at best a reckless endangerment charge. But people are up in arms, and they're scared. And they're concerned. And so the responses that I'm seeing is it's not good enough. You put them away for life, those kinds of reactions. And that concerns me in a very real way, because last time we had something that was a time of crisis and we got legislation out of it, it was the Homeland Security Act. And out of the Homeland Security Act came three of my favorites in terms of government abuse for a good time called the TASA. We had the metadata harvesting that was coming out of the NSA that Snowden had exposed, good, bad, or indifferent, he did expose it, and the NSA was, in fact, harvesting data on their own citizens. And they were doing so under the purview of the FISA court. And we've all seen what a tremendous success that has been in the past few years and how the FBI and the leadership there has just abused that power. Now, we have an obligation to our fellow man, and that obligation is much like our rights, endowed to us by our Creator. If we sacrifice our responsibility and our security in favor of these kinds of legislative tactics that allow government to usurp our rights, then we're really creating just another opportunity for them to manufacture a crisis, blow it out of proportion, and further usurp our rights. It's deeply concerning to me.
Yes, it is a very dangerous time. Government, you know, I think Rick has stepped in. We've seen it. We need to make sure that as we get through this, that government steps back out. And you didn't mention your third. Was that the Patriot Act by any chance?
No, that was the FISA courts, actually. And the Patriot Act's a special one, too. But Bush did all kinds of favors for us. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah. You know, just a quick comment on that, Rick, before we go to Brad Beck, is when the Patriot Act was proposed, in my gut, I'm like, this is a big overstep. This is not what we really want to have happen. But then I kind of I said to myself, okay, if it keeps us safe. But as we have pushed into the future, I realize that we need to, on every decision that we make, go back to the vision of the Declaration and the Constitution. And if it doesn't match up with those, we need to say no, and we need to make sure that government steps back from that. So your final thought before we go to Brad Beck.
Nowhere in the Constitution does it say except in a time of crisis. That's really my final thought on it. It doesn't say that anywhere. These are, our Constitution applies whether we're in a time of crisis, time of war. We have to preserve that integrity of our system of governments and our system of organization. It's what makes us great.
No, thank you so much, Rick Rome. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. Good morning, and how are you?
I am doing well. Now, let's explain to people, before we jump in on your table topics, right to violate rights, where people can join us. We are meeting virtually right now, and we would love to have people join us. So explain that.
Well, we are meeting virtually. We're meeting on a platform that allows us to work together as we would live. It just happens to be virtual on computers. So we are meeting at the regular scheduled time, both north and south. And if somebody's interested, they could go to our website or to libertytoastmasters.org, find our clubs, and direct message us, and we're happy to give them the virtual information of where we're meeting. And all are welcome and included, and we'd love to have guests come and join us.
Well, and Brad, as we are moving through this crisis, and we're going to come out on the other side, being able to get our brains around ideas and be able to communicate them is so important, because we're engaged in a great battle of ideas. And Ronald Reagan brought down the Berlin Wall with rhetoric and with ideas. And that's why what we do at Liberty Toastmasters is so important. And people can go out and improve themselves and learn. And I think that is, it's such a gift, Brad Beck.
Well, one of the things we work on, Kim, as you know, is not only oral communication, speaking, we also work on leadership skills, but I think the most important skill that we're missing right now, we continually talk past each other, is the ability to listen, to be magnanimous, and be able to listen to people with the intent to understand before we just react and respond. We will get over this, but we have to be resilient. And one of the ways, I believe, in times of uncertainty is to go back to know things that are certain. I remember I was sitting had an experience where I was with a group of friends who, in my business, part of my business is in the flower industry. Right now, it's just being hammered like every other. Distributors, growers, retailers, transportation, they're all not doing much of anything other than just waiting for this unfortunate incident to pass us by and try to come out the other side whole again, but it's a struggle. So I'm sitting at a trade show after a long day, and sitting at the local watering hole in the hotel we were all staying, and two of the designers that were there, who happened to have a different sexual orientation than I. We had a long discussion after having several beverages. And one said, you know, we need to have more rights. There's too much hate crime out there. We need to have stronger gay rights. and I let him talk, and we had a discussion. I kept asking him questions and peeling back the onion, so to speak. And I finally said to him, you know, I don't believe in that. I only believe in one kind of right, the rights of the individual, that you own yourself by right. And these rights are given to you by your creator, whether you believe in God or that there's something innate in all human beings. It's a moral construct. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? And so after listening to him for about 10 minutes spouting off, he started to listen to me, and we had a dialogue. And at the end of that dialogue, he looked at me and he said, you know what? Nobody's ever explained rights as you have to me. Now I understand that they are a concept and that individual rights are really something that subordinate society. It's a moral law, and we all have to be aware of this. They're important, and there are no rights that government gives us. We, as human beings, our rights precede government. And I think that's an important lesson, but more importantly is listening to each other and understanding where they are, where they stand, so you can talk, listen, and come to some kind of understanding of where that person is at that time.
Well, Brad Beck, that is awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of the Liberty Toastmasters. We're just about out of time. Our quote for today is from Benjamin Franklin. He says, wish not so much to live long as to live well. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.